Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. I had read it in the New American Standard. This time I'm going to try it in the New King James. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, pretty simple, pretty straightforward. And it, tell the truth, I just really like picking up commentators who can take three verses like that and pack like 15 pages of information into it. And this is one of those three verses that just is amazing to me what they got out of it. And not much background other than, you know, Alexander the Great, his father's the one that established Philippi. He chose it because it set in a valley and all the traders from Asia headed to Europe and Rome. This was before Rome, though, became famous. All the traders had to go through there, so he set up this town and named it after himself. And that's how he financed all of his wars, and his son also helped finance his wars through that. So Philippi was famous, well-known city, had a lot of international trade back and forth for centuries before Paul came along. But Paul writes these people. They have a different and varied background. You read in the book of Acts, you'll find that that's where Lydia lived. And we just read the word, oh, she's a trader in purple, or she was making purple cloth. If you know the history, and I didn't till I read this guy, he said, actually, what that should be read like is she was a trader prince, a trader princess. She was extremely wealthy, well-to-do, well-known. And then you have the Roman jailer. He was there. So we have an Asian. Lydia is from Asia. The Roman jailer. And then we have the girl who was possessed, who was doing fortune-telling for her owners, a slave girl, and she was Greek. So we have an international group of people there that's all represented in the book of Acts. But when Paul starts writing, he doesn't introduce himself like he usually does. This book and one of the Thessalonians, I believe, is the only books that comes out where he does not start off with something like, "Hi, I'm Paul and I am an apostle. I am sent by Jesus Christ himself and I am here to inform you." And then he compliments what they have done and then he tells them what they need to do to straighten out and become better Christians. Paul had been at Philippi. He hung out with them, and they were his pick of the litter, might be the best way to say it. He was really, they were his buddy church. They knew him, they respected him, they cared about him, and it was such a close relationship to those people in that town, in that city, that they were the only ones that he knowingly, willingly accepted money from, funding from. All the other places he was saying things like, "I came to your town and I never accepted a dime from you. I got a second job and I was working to support myself and I made extra money so I could give to other people." He let it be known that he wasn't there to steal their money. But the Philippi, the people of Philippia, were such good friends with him, that when he would go to different places, they would send him an offering, a love offering. That's where we get the love offering ideas here. They would send him a love offering and sometimes even send a servant and say, "You go over there and you make sure you take care of this man. Make sure his needs are met. And if you need anything, you write back here and we'll take care of him." So they were very, very good friends. And he did not have to exert this, "I am an apostle." They knew who he was. But one thing he did exert was this statement here, bondservants of Jesus Christ. It can be translated that what he said is, "I'm a slave." But the word slave has such a negative connotation. Most of the newer translations and a lot of the old ones use the word bondservant to get across what was his relationship with God was. Jump back into history a little bit. Whenever Moses was handing down the stuff, the information back in Exodus, one of the ideas that he came across was, if you're a servant to a particular household, say you spent too much money and you had to borrow some cash off the man, and you didn't have a means of paying it back, you would be a bonded servant to him. You would work off your debt, and then after you worked off your debt, you could go on about your way. Everything was hunky-dory. He couldn't hound you no more. You had no obligation to him whatsoever. But, if you thought so much of the head of that household, if you really liked the people you worked for, you could choose to become a permanent bonded servant to that household. It was your choice. After you managed to pay the debt, it was your choice to become completely dedicated to that household. And that's what Paul is saying here. His debt was worked off, not by himself, but by Jesus Christ. Jesus came along and paid that debt. And Paul said, I like this household so much that Jesus paid my debt, and I have decided to be a bonded servant to this household, to this man, forever and ever and ever. And he's saying, I chose this. I am all in for Jesus Christ. Remember when he first met Jesus, he was blinded. He was on his way to Damascus. He was going to persecute the church. And he worked really hard to be really, really perfect. And Jesus stopped him, had words with him. And by the time Jesus got done dealing with him, he had converted and said, this guy knows what he's talking about. And I'm all in for Jesus. I am going to be a bonded servant to him forever. He is mine and I am his. We are together. I will always and absolutely seek total obedience to him. It was a choice, a self-identification. And he also called himself something else here. He said, to all the saints, bondservant of Jesus Christ, that word bondservant also carries this of Jesus Christ. He was saying, I identify as that, and I want it to be made known publicly to the Philippians in particular, that I am that bondservant. And in choosing that, he was actually identifying himself with some of the highest profile people of the Jewish history. Moses was known as the servant of God. He used the Hebrew words there for that. But Moses was a servant of God. Joshua was called the servant of God. King David was called the servant of God. So we've got these very important people, and they were all referred to as the servant of God. You can look it up in Judges, in Joshua, in Psalms. They're right there. And Paul is saying, I've given myself over, and just like they are dedicated, I also am there and I am dedicated. And he considered to be the servant of God as the highest title that he could to claim to achieve. And that was what he was going for. There's a Latin phrase that we probably have never heard, but it's this. To be his slave is to be a king. To be the servant of Jesus Christ, a totally dedicated servant, is to be a king. You have to scratch your head sometimes and say, what in the world is Paul talking about? A servant, and you see it as kingship? Because once Jesus takes you on, and once God the Father recognizes you and says, that's my servant, he has all the authority to say to you, you go out and do this. I am granting you my authority to do exactly what you know needs to be done. He had the authority of God to walk into a church and to lay down rules and regulations that he knew had to be done. And so that's what he did in all the other books that he is writing people, was, I am an apostle. I've been sent here, and I'm going to lay out what you need to know so that you can have a better life. And he did it, and it was like, I'm here with authority and with kingship because God sent me. And when somebody has that authority, you best recognize it. We don't deal with royalty too much over here, other than to read the gossip columns and see who's marrying who and what kind of a dress she was wearing and where they're going to live at now, which, Canada? I don't know. Some of the Canadians don't want that whole thing going on up in their country. But all this is interesting. But when the Queen of England, she starts the English Parliament, she walks in, they have all this pomp and circumstance, and they recognize her, and it's officially open. Well, in Scotland, she will pick out some person, and it can be a man or a woman, it doesn't matter, and she will say, I want you to go up there and be my representative. And that person will walk in, and they will treat them as though they literally were the king or the queen. Even if it's a guy, she appointed me and I walked in, they would treat me just like I was the Queen of England. And they would move me to the best apartments. They would give me the best food. Anything I said, they would say yes. They would have servants and everything there waiting for me. Once the parliament in Scotland had been open, the ritual's over with, the guy steps down off the platform and walks away. He's just an ordinary person from that point on. And that's what he's getting at. For me to be a servant of Jesus Christ is tremendous, because I can walk in the power and authority, and the devil and everybody else should realize that when we're servants of Jesus Christ, we have been granted authority. Even Jesus prayed, God, you gave me authority and I'm giving it on to them. So we need to be informed and understanding of the ways of Jesus Christ, so that when people come to us and ask, we can say, this is what Jesus says. This is what the Scriptures teach us. The Scriptures of God are inspired. Fancy word just means God Himself breathed them out, just like I'm speaking and breathing out. And He's saying the Scriptures are all breathed of God to us, so we can trust what the Scriptures say. And you'd be surprised how close these are. You can study this and spend hours and hours, and it's interesting how close they are to the, especially the New Testament, the pieces that we have that's within a few decades of Christ and Paul's living, how close they are word for word. And it might just be the word or the has been changed, but nothing that makes any difference. But when you're a bondservant, whenever you're a bondservant, king/saint, remember he wrote to these people and he says, I'm writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus, all the saints. That would include us. We are all the saints. We can learn from them. When we are declared saints, we have certain perks and certain responsibilities. One of the perks, and a lot of people, we talk about it, and just don't quite grasp it. The word saint has nothing to do with halos. It has nothing to do with perfection. It has nothing to do with glowing lights around us. It just means this: I am set apart. I am God chosen. I am different from other people. And the only thing that makes me different is God said, you're mine, and now you are dedicated to me. You walk in my ways. You talk my ways. You learn my ways. And you will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's difference between us and other people. We are set apart to be used by God, and we should say periodically, God, what would you have me to do? Inform me, lead me, prepare me, guide me. This is the dedication that we're to have. God, this is an interesting situation here. When we choose and say, I accept what Christ did, and I choose to be that servant of His, I am now dedicated to you, then God responds and says, and I am dedicated to you. Isn't that amazing that God is dedicated to you? He's out there working for your benefit, for your well-being, leading, guiding, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though there's trials in this life, and even though we stumble, and even though we fall, He says, I'm still there, and I'm dedicated to you just like you're dedicated to me. I'm there for you. We are different because we are the children of God. We're God's kids. I mentioned the word inspired. It means breathed. All Scripture is inspired. All Scriptures are given by God. All Scriptures are God-breathed. Everything in here, including those first three verses, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, inspired to all the saints in Christ Jesus, inspired, who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. He says, not just the laity, I want everybody to understand. From the top to the bottom, every person that thinks they're way up or way low, I am talking to you. And this is the inspired desire that Paul had, and he speaks it out, and we're to understand this is the desire he had, and it's inspired from God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was seeking on behalf of all the saints, all the people who have called upon Jesus Christ, all the people who said, you make a difference in my life. You forgive me of my sins. I am now your child. I accept that responsibility. I accept that perk of you being with me always, that you'll always be there and you will bring me around. I am trusting in that. And Paul says, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I ask the blessing, I ask this favor of grace and peace to rest upon you. He's asking it for us also, that God wants us to be blessed with grace and peace. I know I've said it a lot since I've been here, but here's one of the more interesting ways of defining. The word grace has to do with, I want you to have grace, the grace of God. I want you to have joy and pleasure. I want you to have brightness and beauty in your life. I want you to have this. I want you to enjoy your life. A lot of people, a lot of ministers will come out with constant hellfire and brimstone because it's an easy preach, because if you can guilt somebody, you can manipulate them to get them to do what you want them to do. But I would rather, if I'm trying, I would rather say, Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He's all in for you. You be all in for Him. And I would rather that you dedicate your life and make your moves based on your respect for Him, not on fear, because fear was what Moses used constantly. There's no reason why you can't use a rebuke and you can't call people out and say, that is not the way it's to be done. Paul does it. But this constant just in somebody's face and stomping on people, that is not the way Jesus did it. The ones He really jumped on all the time, and you read through the Gospels, you'll see it, are the religious leaders, people like me. He was always on their cases. You whitewashed sepulchres, you're full of dead men's bones. You brood of vipers. You go out and try to convert people, and then you make them twice the child of hell as you are. These are things that He was saying to the ministers at that time. But to the people who had the hard knock life, the people who were tax collectors, the downtrodden, the unclean, the people who were sick, He was saying, come here, your sins are forgiven, I choose you. And Paul says, I am so glad that you chose to reveal yourself to the children, to the people who are not at the top of the pile, but the other people. You've been there for them, and I thank you, God, that you're showing your wisdom to them, because it just totally stumps the high and mighty people who are sitting there in the high echelons of churches, religious organizations. He says, I'm so glad that you're working with the common, ordinary people. And bring all those common, ordinary people in. And that's where I hope we all are, is coming right into Jesus Christ, not with haughtiness, but with, thank you. I appreciate what you've done. And the word peace there, you know, grace, joy and pleasure, He wishes that. Brightness and beauty, He wishes that for you. Peace in the Hebrew understanding is, I wish you well-being. I wish you the highest good. Not the well-being doesn't quite express it as much as the highest good does. He's saying, I want for you. This is the Holy Spirit leading Paul to say it. So it's like God saying, I want for you, I want you to understand, this is supposed to be the desires of the leaders of your church, that you would have joy, that you would have pleasure, that you would have brightness and beauty, and you would have the highest good. Jesus said, I come that they might have life, and they would have it more abundantly. He wants us to enjoy His presence in our life, and to learn to trust Him and walk by faith and not by sight, even when it's bad, to say, it's bad now, I've got somebody on my side. I've got God, and He is dedicated to me, and I might look like I'm down and out, but I've got God, and He will come in an appropriate time. He will lift me up. Even this incident that has happened is going to work out, and it will benefit me and to the other people who are attacking you. And if you don't watch out, God will turn it against you. You see, we inherited the blessing of Abraham. And one of his blessings is, I will curse those who curse you, and I will bless those who bless you. Yeah, it's in there. We inherited the blessings of Abraham. Not any of the cursing part of it, just the blessing part of it. And one of them is, if people attack you and you're walking by faith in Jesus Christ, God will eventually stand up for you and bring those people to heal. He'll give them a chance and an opportunity to repent and turn from their ways, but eventually He will deal with them. And that would be a scary thing, to have God mad at you because you messed with one of His kids. Remember that. All of this joy, pleasure, brightness, beauty, highest well-being, and all that benefit comes to us whenever we say, just like Paul, I choose to be all in for Jesus Christ. I choose to be a servant in His household. I choose to be a bondservant and dedicate my life, and I accept, perk, I accept that You're dedicated to me from now on, God. That is a tremendous comfort to me as I walk through this life. I am all in. So we come down to the Baptist part of this service and say, are you really all in? Are you really all in? Have you come out and said, Jesus, I'm all in. Might not be perfect, but I'm Yours. I'm all in. Let's go for it. And dedicate your life to walk in His ways. In Jesus' name, may you be blessed with grace and peace. That is what the leaders should be praying for you. And I want you to know, I want you all to have the same thing. Blessings and peace to rest upon you. Experience it. Look for it, because it can be yours.